I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Angela Gabriel and Amy Lindquist. They are co-directors of the Life Songs Choir, and Alicia Shaw joins us. She's coordinator of the Life Songs program at the Academy for the Love of Learning. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Hi.
Thank you.
So, Life Songs is a very interesting program that we've talked about in past years. It's kind of an annual thing. It's a concert performance process, life-changing phenomenon that happens. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Life Songs has been around for about 7 years, and it's a multi-generational program where we work with people in nursing care and hospice to write life songs, to write music about their lives. And we do this in group settings, and we do this one-on-one. And we also work with performers, school kids, people of all ages to co-create music, poetry that centers around stories that people want to tell at the end of life. And it has so many layers and so many impacts, and it really has been life-changing for, I think, everybody who's had contact with it. But one of the big things that I think it does is it really takes end of life out of isolation into the whole of community, because we don't really have spaces in our culture to deal with death and dying and grief. And it really, we create spaces creatively where we can share life stories and kind of bring the isolation back into the whole of community. And one example, our primary founding partners at the Santa Fe Care Center, 85% of the residents don't have regular visitors. So the work that we do weekly with them in group settings, with our ensemble and one-on-one, has such a huge impact on their lives. And in some cases, people who have written songs have actually kind of lived for the performance and died immediately after. So it.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it's deep.
So what do these groups, what do these processes actually look like? And how do they get started? I mean, you know, three musical ladies march in and say, hey, you guys are going to die soon. You want to do something? I mean.
You know, so the program was co-founded by Molly Sturgis and Akushla Bastabal. And it started in 2007, kind of like that. Molly walked into the Santa Fe Care Center and said, I want to make some music with your residents. And she started one-on-one and group songwriting practices. And the one-on-one practices are really intimate. You know, in many cases, Life Songs artists spend several months with people in hospice, developing the content of the material, just hanging out. You know, it's not like really a pressure thing. It's really like a co-creation and sharing of experiences and things like that. And then in the ensemble sessions, in the group sessions, it's kind of a multi-generational group process where we can write poetry together, we can write music together, and we can also just explore stories and share things with each other. And we have one ensemble that meets regularly at the Academy, and that's the residents of Santa Fe Care and people in the community. It's totally open. You can come and be a part of this process. And we're beginning two new ensembles at the Kingston Residents of Santa Fe this month.
So a lot of the people who participate in this, the elders, are not people who've necessarily been poets or artists or songwriters.
Exactly. And in a lot of cases, you know, folks who were first introduced to the program at the care centers say things like, I don't have a creative bone in my body. Like, I can't do this. But by the end of it, it's really powerful for them to see their songs performed in public. It's like they can't believe that they did something like this. So it's a huge sense of accomplishment and sharing. And it's beautiful.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, please.
One of the songs that we sing was written by a woman named Mary Gilmore, who was in hospice, and she had late stage dementia. And so when Molly would go in weekly with her, for months she went in once a week, and Molly, she never recognized her. Mary never recognized Molly. Yet they would spend this time together, and she was able to encourage her in speaking how she felt, and her song is very much about that, about the anger and the frustration and the questions that she had. So even though she didn't follow her relationship with Molly, she followed the relationship with the song, and by the time it got to the concert, she knew that she had written that song, and she was proud. And when they gave her flowers at the concert, you could really tell that she had ownership of that music. It was part of who she
That's
was.
That's amazing.
It was beautiful, yeah.
When, I mean, you've been doing this, as you said, for multiple years. When you have songs that have been written in the past, and then that person passes on, and you've got new people you're working with, are you still working with some of the old songs?
Yes.
Yeah, in fact, that song in particular that I was just talking about is one that we'll do on this coming concert. In fact, it's been done before, but it was done in kind of a different style. It was they found a composer to arrange it for a more classical-oriented choir, like a university chorus. And it was very kind of cerebral and very, like, very dissonant and, you know, sopranos, sing it again, no, that's the wrong interval, and, you know, trying
right.
to... I have friends who were in the choir that performed it at the time, and it was really difficult. Like, they couldn't get into the heart of the song because they were so in their head of trying to sing this arrangement, which I haven't heard that arrangement. I mean, you know, so I'm not knocking the arrangement, but it was more the process of it. We wanted to try to take the process of performing these songs and take it out of this formal kind of classical arrangement and put it more into community music. So
what is community music? What does that mean?
Well, to me, it means first and foremost that you're not necessarily a professional musician. You're not trained as a performer. That you're just part of the community, and it's people coming together to create harmony together.
And so you're not looking at sheet music, for
no.
example?
No, we teach old school. We sing it, they sing it back. We sing it, they sing it back. And it's a slower process with this choir. So there's a lot of repetition, a lot of tuning and toning with each other and feeling the intervals in our body. And to me, I was trained classically and I've been in a lot of classical choirs. And when I would try to do a modern piece, it was very cerebral. It was more fun for the people. I don't know if fun's the word. It was interesting in a way. And a lot of times it was torture on the audience because dissonance isn't easy.
Right.
This song has been really great to work with Angela just in our lives and what we're going through to put it in there and make it singable and make it, you feel it in a different way. So we have people in our choir, this is I guess our next subject, but talking about this choir that's generated four Life Songs now. Life Songs has its own choir. Before it would work with classical choirs in university settings, but Molly and Akushla heard about our work in Seventh Wave and said, this is it. This is what we want. We want people to be able to come and sing and who are moved to do it, you know, who love to sing, who maybe don't consider themselves singers, which you were saying the elders say, oh, I don't have a creative bone in my body. I mean, we all say that unless we're self-identified musicians or artists or whatever. But it's community music is the fact that we all can sing together. We all can make music together. It's in our DNA. It's lost. And then when you do that and you feel it, you're hooked. You're just hooked. And I've had a lot of people come from our weekly session to Life Songs. It's our weekly session of Seventh Wave is to get people comfortable with their voice and singing with each other and making music. And then Life Songs was this natural progression of having a community use for your voice. You know, you're contributing to this person's song that they wrote and may hear only once. And then their families come.
Yeah.
I've heard that families mm-hmm. continue to come. Even once, you know, say Mary Gilmore's family, I don't know the particulars, but they're always invited. And I've heard a lot of them come to the concerts where their loved one's song is performed, even if they're not there.
So to clarify for our beloved listeners, there's all kinds of choirs that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You've got a choir, the Seventh Wave, that people, it's a drop-in thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That people can show up for at the Rail Yard on Sunday afternoons, mm-hmm. is it?
At 5:30. Yeah. I like to think of that as a singing experience.
Yeah.
So we're not working toward a performance, we're just there to sing. And we help people get better at relating to their voice and using their body to become more powerful singers, mm-hmm. and more creative singers. And then with the Life Songs Choir, that's more, I mean, it's the same philosophy, but it's geared toward a performance.
Right, and so one of the things that people listening to the show can do when we finish is they can get in touch with you guys and see if they can either show up for the Seventh Wave or become part of the Life Songs Choir.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to do to, I mean, do you have to be able to sing fairly well to be in the Life Songs Choir?
There's no audition.
Okay.
You just need a willingness to be there, you know, and actually literally a willingness to be at these rehearsals, which I guess I'll just throw these dates out right there. They start this Monday on October 6th.
Okay.
And there's 10 rehearsals, and then it's from 6 to 8. So we have 10 two-hour rehearsals, and then there'll probably be a dress rehearsal and a concert on Sunday, December 14th. So there's this very specific timeline that we follow, and we have obvious objectives of we're learning these songs and getting these songs as powerfully as we can and getting them into our hearts so that we can do a good performance of them.
So these are songs that have already been written? Are they from a group that has already been meeting in an ongoing way?
The repertoire is a mix of songs that have been written by the ensemble group currently and also over the years, as well as individual work that will be going on through the fall and in past years. So it's a mix of past and present repertoire, but it's all been co-authored by people in nursing care and hospice.
And that process, like as we speak, somebody is in hospice right now and they're thinking about their songs or their poetry.
We're about to begin our hospice work for the year. So, yes.
Okay. Now, you all have participated in this work. What is it like for you as an experience? What is it like emotionally? How has it affected you?
Can I talk about that first? Because for me, it was extremely personal and timely, because my parents were both elderly, 86 and 91, and I moved them here to come to Santa Fe, and my mom had dementia. My mom passed in June, but up until then, her dementia had started really avalanching. I mean, it had been going for years, but then as it got into the later stages, it became really difficult, and the everyday, just being there every day and taking care of her, but also, I mean, literally like praying that she would go, because I knew she didn't want to live like that. And I knew that she would try to express to me how angry she was and how difficult it was. And she would try to put into words what it felt like, but she couldn't. She couldn't even put syllables together, let alone thoughts, you know.
And yet you knew she was having those thoughts.
I knew she was, and I could tell because she was my mom. So, you know, and she would have these little moments of clarity, but even in those moments, she had lost the ability to really make words. So I would record our conversation sometimes and go back, and she would try to tell me how much she didn't like what was happening, like not only visually and how things sounded to her, but how she felt, how she was paranoid. She thought people, it was really scary to see her going through this. And at the same time, Amy and I are making an arrangement of this piece. All we had was a melody that Molly wrote with Mary Gilmore, and what's the name of the song?
Shadows
of the Night. Yes. And so the words start out, she's saying, "What caused the fall? I can't remember. Help me get out of here. Help me get out of here." And so it goes on. There's other words to it as well, but like we take that idea and it's like we have the melody that was written, so how are we going to take this melody and put into it this experience that I knew Mary had and the experience that I saw my mom having and bring that out in music so that we have this dissonance and this terror, really, and this uncomfortability. And not that all our songs are like this, but this one is a great example to use because it was so just real for me.
Yeah.
And so it was amazing therapy to be going every week with the Life Songs Choir, because we sang this on our last we didn't sing this on the last concert. We've just worked on it, and then we took a break, and so now we're going to sing it on this concert. And and so I remember my mom in the last couple weeks, she was bedridden and just pretty much mumbling. But every once in a while, she'd yell something out, and the words would kind of make a little bit of sense. And every night, we would just kind of be there with her. She was in the living room, and so it was very open. We were all around her. And it was actually kind of funny, the stuff that she would yell out. And one night, she said, "I've got questions." And I ran over to her. I said, "You have some questions?" And she goes, "Plenty." And I said, okay, ask. And she goes, how do I get out of here? And it was like almost the same line in the song, help me get out of here, help me get out of here. So here we are, like, singing this reality and then seeing, like, wow, you know, that's a common feeling for people who are going through that. And even the family members, not knowing how long it's going to go on, not wanting to wish ill of your loved ones, but at the same time, not wanting them to be in that kind of pain. And so how do we get out of this? And so we were singing that and creating dissonance, creating this feeling of helplessness through the music.
And it's so important that what you're making really is art and that it's crafted. It brings it to a level of communication somehow, of relevance to mm-hmm. others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, now that I've gone through this, I talk to other people and I realize almost everyone I know has some connection to somebody who suffered from dementia, or they all, you know someone who's in hospice, or they all, I mean, we all, this is, and that's another part of what makes this such a powerful community experience, is because every day there are more and more people who are entering hospice. And I mean, you know, that's where we are in life right now. We have so many people who are needing this kind of care and this kind of understanding, and yet we live our lives kind of blinded to a lot of the experiences that these people are going through. Which, and we feel totally alone.
Well, I also wanted to say that, yeah, that's one side of it, and the fear and the letting go. And then there's an experience just being in this ensemble every week, which I love and look forward to every week with the Santa Fe Care residents, because they are hilarious and full of joy. And, you know, there's this holding of this circle and this completion with the different generations and the community members that feels like I've been missing that in my life. I'm 46. My mother is, you know, getting older. My kids are watching that. There's just, I feel like there needs to be connection with all of us and a place to be ourselves and to laugh. They were more randy and ornery than the kids when we were putting it together. And it was fun, and the kids were enjoying them. You know, we had a class from Waldorf that's followed for many years, about 3 years now, worked with Life Songs, and that come together at the end, and we all make this music together, and it's a blast, and they all say so. The kids, you know, so it's not only, oh, I was nervous, honestly, coming into this. I'd worked with youth mostly, and I'd related to one-on-one with older people, but the nursing home environment made me nervous. And I think that's a lot of people feel that way. Oh, it smells a certain way. Oh, it's the end of life. And to just take it on and have a good time with these folks has meant the world to me, actually.
And one thing that I've been thinking about lately is just how much more important this kind of work is going to become as the baby boomers age and approach elder care. Because already there's so much about the way that we care for our elders in this culture that needs to be fixed. But when there's so many articles that have been coming out lately about how there aren't enough resources yet, you know, to actually have adequate care for this generation that's going to be aging. So I've just been thinking a lot about how these kinds of creative approaches towards shifting culture around aging and dying and building multi-generational community are just ever more apropos.
Very interesting. Now, you have another workshop coming up that you wanted to let people know about.
We do. We have a lot of great events, and too many probably to mention. So
just mention that one.
I'll mention this one and encourage everyone to get in touch with me if you want to get involved in other aspects. But Life Songs is participating, and actually the Academy for the Love of Learning is partnering with a number of organizations on a conference called Celebrating Creativity in Elder Care. It's about dementia arts practices. So we're working with Gary Glazner of the Alzheimer's Poetry Project and a number of other local practitioners of different arts approaches, creative aging approaches, on a conference at the New Mexico History Museum on October 25th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And this is a really amazing snapshot of, you'll be able to kind of pick and choose and taste a little bit bit of all of these different ways that the programs like Life Songs use creative facilitation with elders and learn how to apply it to as family members, as caregivers, as museum professionals, as librarians, as artists. Really, it's open to the public. So there's a really good learning opportunity there. And if you want more information, go to dementiaarts.com. Or call 577-2250. And if you want any other information about Life Songs and how to get involved, you can call me at 995-1860 or go to aloveoflearning.org.
aloveoflearning.org. And if people want to join the choir that starts on Monday, I guess they have to get in touch with one of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
What should they do?
They can call either of us.
Yeah, my number, this is Amy Lindquist, and it's 505-699-5594.
And this is Angela Gabriel. My number is 505-670-7553.
And if you didn't catch that, you can write to me at radiocafe@ksfr.org, and I will send you any and all information, and we will be making all kinds of connections on the website, santafe.radiocafe.org, including a link to a video, I think, mm-hmm. of the choir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, can I give you an email address that mm-hmm. people can write to?
Absolutely.
santafesings@gmail.com. That'll get to both Amy and me.
Yeah, and that's more our just community music link. Like, if you want to communicate with us, email with us. Ask questions.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And that's easy to remember, too. SantaFeSings@gmail.com. Angela Gabriel and Amy Lindquist, co-directors of the Life Songs Choir, and Alicia Shaw, coordinator of the Life Songs program at the Academy for the Love of Learning. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary
Thank
Charlotte.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.